Hey guys, welcome to the Indie Game Development Podcast. Here we tackle the challenges of indie game development head on, from the technical to the emotional, and we talk about the secrets to conquering self-doubt on your journey to crafting games that people will love. Subscribe so you never miss another episode, and if you haven't already, give us a rating and review so that this podcast gets shared with more people. We'd really, really appreciate it. Ready? Let's go. I see this everywhere online, all of the time. Whether it's in Discord servers or Reddit threads or even just thumbnails on YouTube, I keep seeing and hearing the same lie online over and over and over again. And that is, devlogs are targeted at developers, not gamers. This has been said in too many different ways from too many different people. And I can't even, like, I'm pretty sure that I've even said it myself on my YouTube channel before, because I fell for that idea. And I even stopped making devlogs for a really long time because they were too much work for too little payoff in what I thought was, quote unquote, the wrong audience. And it just felt like a complete waste of my time to be making all of these devlogs that took all of this work in order to promote my game to the wrong audience. Why would I do that? But what if everyone who believes that is completely wrong? And what if this advice has caused some developers to fail when they otherwise could have succeeded? So to answer these questions, we need to take a bit of a dive into the world of indie marketing, different types of devlogs, and why they might be the answer that you've been looking for. Now, if you listen to this podcast, you're probably a game developer, although it has been brought to my attention that not everyone who listens is a game developer, but that's okay. If you listen to this podcast, you know that it is hard to even finish and launch a video game. But of all the indie games that launch, 70% of them are financial failures. And of the remaining 30%, only 7% of those games generate enough revenue to fund a second game. So obviously, those are not good odds, right? So resourceful and intelligent indie developers know that they have to market their game in order for it to sell. If you are a developer and you are serious about turning this into a career, you know this, right? But there's a problem. How do you market your game? How do you actually get people to care about your game? Okay, and step one is the obvious step, which is make a good game. If your game is good, word of mouth is going to work in your favor. Early adopters will play your game and they'll probably tell their friends, right? But this in and of itself is definitely not enough. If making a good game was all it took to find success in the indie game dev space, then that's all you would have to do, and a lot more people would have found success along the way. So what we turn to next is online marketing. Right? Posting on Twitter, sorry, X, I can't call it that, it's so stupid, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram, hoping to gather wish lists and followers, right? This by itself, though, usually is not enough either. The majority of the people who will follow and wishlist your game in those types of posts are usually other developers who really just want you to follow them in return. At least this has been my experience with posting on Twitter and Instagram and in all of these different places. I haven't even utilized all of them, but that's what my experience has been like. It's like a wish list for wish list type of situation. Now, if people are scrolling on something like Twitter or Instagram, and they're looking at games, if your game doesn't somehow do something to jump out and kind of grab people, meaning if it's not instantly viral, people are just going to keep on scrolling, which sucks, but that's just how it is. The average person sees 10,000 advertisements per day. So an image or a small video of your game on social media is just statistically very likely to get lost among everything else that they're scrolling past. There are obviously exceptions to every rule, but what we're talking about here is how to maximize your chances for success. So if that's what we're doing, then we got to play by the numbers. And the numbers say posting your game by itself online usually is not enough to make your game successful. There's got to be more. So the next method that a lot of people will talk about is making a list of hundreds of YouTubers and streamers to play your game. And by the way, you should absolutely do this, okay? But again, this by itself is often not enough to find the kind of success that you are probably looking for. The thing about YouTubers and streamers is they will only want to play something that they are sure will entertain their audience, which means it's either going to be a really, really, really good game, or it's going to be so bad that it's so bad it's good kind of thing, which is probably not what you want. It's really easy to see why games like Among Us or Lethal Company, which is a much newer one, would be big hits with streamers. They make for a lot of funny moments. Some games are just more streamable than others on the surface. But if you can get streamers to play your game, it is very likely that a certain percentage of the people who regularly watch those streamers' channels will pick up a copy of your game. Why is that? That's a really interesting statement to make. My perspective is it's because of trust. This is why you might choose to get your coffee from a place like Starbucks over some small mom and pop diner that you've never been to, not because the diner doesn't serve good coffee, but because you trust that you'll get an experience that you like from Starbucks. You've been there before, you know what to expect, and you trust it. So if you like watching Video Game Donkey on YouTube, and he makes a video about a game that he likes, then chances are you will be more interested in that game than you were before you watched that video. So that's just what trust does. So contacting streamers and YouTubers is absolutely a must if you're a developer. Hear me, I'm not saying don't do this. Absolutely do this, 100%. But this is a little bit out of your control, and you're a little bit powerless as to how this works out for you. The only thing that is within your control is how streamable you make the game and how many streamers you contact, right? Those other two variable factors at play there. But the rest is you kind of waiting and praying that some of them read your email or your post or whatever, and they say yes and actually do end up playing your game and either streaming it or making a video about it. If they don't, then, you know, you wasted a lot of time and success is going to be that much harder to find. Which leads us to devlogs, right? The topic of this episode. And I know we went pretty deep with the marketing stuff there, but it was important to understand just how hard it is to find success in this industry before we start talking about creating devlogs. It's hard because if you don't already have your own established brand, earning people's trust, getting their attention, and getting people to spend their hard-earned money on your product is a really difficult task. You are an unknown. They don't know what to expect from you. You know what your game is like. You're the one who built it. You know when it gets fun. You know that it's awesome. They don't. All they see is, you know, a post on social media or a video or, you know, any one of those things among many, many, many other games. But here's the thing. Devlogs are special because they are a way for you to become an influencer and build a brand while you are creating your game. Now, again, I want to say this very seriously. Hear me when I say this, okay? I do not say or suggest creating devlogs lightly, okay? It is not for everyone. There are certain anxieties that come with being an influencer. There are certain difficulties. You will get certain messages. You will get certain emails. I very recently read an entire article that was written about my YouTube channel that was kind of just a whole critique of it. And you'll have moments like that where you kind of have like your soul floating out of your body and you're like, oh my God, what is happening? There are certain things that come in this territory that are very, very hard to deal with. So the time and energy and fears that you have to overcome in order to do this, building a brand is not a trivial matter. Let's just leave it at that, okay? But here is the thing that is important to understand. Every other marketing strategy that we've discussed so far has an element of luck or randomness involved, right? Your game going viral on Reddit or Twitter, X would be really lucky, right? Some huge streamer playing your game and liking it, or YouTuber playing it, making a video about it, that would be very lucky. But if you have an established brand, that element of luck just starts to decrease a little bit. People watch YouTubers to be entertained, inspired, and educated. And by the way, when I talk about devlogs, my perspective particularly is devlogs on YouTube. There is a whole slew of other types of devlogs out there that I know very little about, so I'm not going to talk about them because I don't know anything about them, but I do know you can look into TikTok as well to make much smaller kind of micro devlogs. There are dev blogs where people write blog articles about their game, and I used to read Team Cherry's dev blog after Hollow Knight came out, when they were working on Silksong before they actually stopped posting, which is so sad. But they used to write dev blog articles, and I would go to their website every month or two to kind of see what Team Cherry was up to because I was really interested. So I don't know if dev blogs are still popular. That's definitely something to look into. But what I'm talking about in this episode, what I have experience with, is dev log videos that get posted to YouTube. Specifically, that's what I'm talking about. So people watch YouTubers to be entertained, inspired, and educated. One of those three things. With devlogs, people get to watch the process of something being created, right? Over time, they get to watch a video game get made, which is really, really cool. If I wasn't in this scene and doing it regularly, if I was someone who didn't even really know a whole lot about indie game development whatsoever, I would think that that was the coolest and, you know, most interesting thing I've ever heard. Like, really? There's a whole slice of YouTube dedicated to people making video games and you can watch it happen. It's something that I take for granted because I've been watching them for years, but it's really cool. Now, this is what I say. People like the process of watching things get created. It's really interesting. So as we said, I have heard it said from way too many sources that devlogs are for the wrong audience, right? That's what I opened up with at the start of this episode, that they are videos by game developers for other game developers, and that there's not really going to be anyone else who watches your devlogs, right? So I want this to be very clear. I just want to throw this out there. From my perspective and to all of my knowledge, that is complete BS, all right? So I watch the YouTube channel Corridor Crew, for example, and I do not watch them because I'm interested in creating films or those kinds of visual effects or anything like that. It's because I just genuinely enjoy watching them make stuff. I particularly like their episodes where they have like a visual effect challenge where they're trying to create some sort of cool animation or video by the end of that episode that I'm watching. I find it really, really fascinating to watch. But I don't have any interest in creating films myself. Now, besides my love of playing video games, guess what got me interested in game dev in the first place? Thin Matrix, the OG devlogger, at least as far as I know. And he is not Danny. And if you don't know who Danny is, then you don't know what devlogs are, probably, because he's the most influential devlogger on the whole of YouTube. Every single video he made hit like 15 million views. Thin Matrix, though, his videos, they are not tailored to entertain bored gamers. His videos are just a relaxed and happy, here's what I've been working on these last few weeks kind of vibe. It's really real. I don't know what other word to use. It's really chill. It's got a really nice, relaxing, calm vibe to it. I didn't know code when I watched him. I didn't know modeling or anything. And apparently I liked watching some chill dude slowly make his game. My buddy Aya recently released a video for his game Mana Valley, and I cannot prove this, but I'm willing to bet that his video did not attract 800,000 game developer. I think it's almost a million now, actually. But it did not attract almost a million game developers. He's getting gamers to watch his videos. I interviewed Watt Designs on this podcast. He's another YouTuber, and that guy has 20,000 wish lists on his game Isle Goblin right now. 95% of his content is devlogs for his game. I interviewed Ben Bonk on this channel, and his game is on the list of most wishlisted indie games, and he's still in high school, as far as I know. That it's been a while since I interviewed him. He might be done now, actually. I'm not positive. But at the time that I interviewed him, he was still in high school. I also interviewed DevDuck, which was so cool, by the way. He's such a nice guy, but he is very similar vibes to Thin Matrix, and he doesn't have a Steam page set up yet, but I guarantee you when he does launch his Steam page, it's going to get wishlists in the five digits straight away. I guarantee it. All of these interviews are available on the podcast, by the way, if you want to check them out. GMTK, another really, really big YouTuber, who has posted a total of only 14 videos in his devlog playlist, one of which was just an announcement saying that he was going to be making devlogs, is ranked 269th on the top most wishlisted indie games on Steam at the time of writing the script. That is no small feat, by the way. Ranking in the top 269th, that's absolutely insane. I mentioned Watt Designs, his game Isle Goblin, which had 20,000 wishlists at the time I interviewed him. That was ranked 377th at 20,000 wishlists. So I can only assume that GMTK probably is in the 30K or more wishlists, which means when he launches, he's going to be doing very, very well. John's game, Blood and Mead from Lost Relic Games, another awesome YouTuber, is on that list as well. I don't remember his rank, but he is, again, he doesn't post too many devlogs. Jonas Tyroller's Will You Snail and Thronefall were both successes backed on the foundation of devlogs. Pontypants, another huge YouTube, he released Punch a Bunch. Big success, very, very, very successful devlogs as well. If you've heard of the game Choo Choo Charles, so many reasons it went big, but one of which I have to assume was probably the millions of views that every single one of his devlogs got, and he posted a lot of devlogs. Carlson, Danny's game, is still in the top five most wishlisted indie games, and he hasn't posted a video in over 2 years. So I hope this goes to show, you know, dropping all these names on you, that creating devlogs that entertain people or inspire people or educate people or some combination of the above is a really big deal, and it can do great things for your game. Every single one of those amazing developers that I mentioned, they have managed to stand out from the crowd and give their game the attention it deserves, which is exactly what every single indie game developer is trying to figure out how to do. Devlogs are not just for developers to view, not if you're doing it right. They are a way for people to follow your journey and get to love your game and care about you as its creator. By the way, if you haven't seen our devlogs for Samurado and you want to check them out, you can watch them on our YouTube channel, Sasquatch B Studios. I will leave a link for that in the description. And that's all I've got. If you love this episode and if you haven't already left a rating and review, please consider doing that now. It really helps the podcast grow and reach more awesome people like yourself. Thank you so much for listening. And by the way, head on over to, if you're still here, thank you so much. I really appreciate you listening. Head on over to Steam and wishlist our game, Samurado, because it's going to be a blast. Thanks so much, guys.